Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersPlus.com. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Today on Encore, my guest is retired Major General Lewis McKenzie. General McKenzie is an author and media commentator whose military career began in 1960 when he enlisted with the Queen's Own Rifles. He served in what was then West Germany, in the Gaza Strip, Cyprus, Egypt, Vietnam, and Central America. But perhaps General McKenzie is best known as Chief of Staff of the United Nations Peacekeeping Force in the former Yugoslavia. When the Bosnian War broke out, he assumed command of the peacekeeping force, which kept the Sarajevo airport open for the delivery of humanitarian aid. His book, Peacekeeper, The Road to Sarajevo, was a bestseller. General McKenzie, welcome to Encore.
Well, thanks very much.
Now, you left the Canadian Army in 1993 after an illustrious career I just alluded to. You've since become an author, well-known commentator. But let's go back to that period when you knew you were heading for retirement. What were the things Lou McKenzie had to face in making that transformation from the military to civilian life?
Well, maybe I'm a bad example because really it was handed to me on a silver platter just by fluke of timing in my career within the previous year before my retirement. I was in charge of, the lead story on international television for about 2 or 3 months. So talk about free advertising. I didn't know it at the time until I came home through Europe, and I'm being recognized in London and Bonn and places like that, walking down the street. I mean, we didn't have television in Sarajevo in 92, nothing international. The satellites weren't working that well at that time. So it hit me like a ton of bricks that in actual fact I had this profile, like it or not, good with some, bad with others, but it was profile. And then having to appear in front of congressional committees while I was still in uniform, no Canadian military officer has ever done that before, that got a lot of publicity. You do 3 or 4 Larry King shows, and you're a celebrity in Canada.
So you clearly had to kind of recalibrate your own, image of yourself.
Yeah, and it was a pleasure, quite frankly, because quite rightly there were some restraints on what you could say and where you could say it while you're wearing uniform. And in fact, I guess I'm the only general officer that retired, and the last entry on my personal file is a recorded warning from the Chief of Defense Staff to keep my mouth shut about certain subjects in public. And I was having a run-in with the minister at the time, too, who turned out to be a separatist, Marcel Mass, you'll recall, when he went back to Quebec, joined the separatist party. And I didn't really think the Minister of National Defense should be responsible for all of the equipment that we have and be across Canada from coast to coast and be a separatist at the same time. So it was a bit of a relief that I was able to do the media commentary, whether it was by writing or television interviews, a lot of them with the American networks, and say what I actually thought, because it was a very controversial situation going on in the Balkans in those days.
So you had this newfound freedom, in a way, once you retired.
Yeah, absolutely. There were no restrictions whatsoever. And that doesn't mean you blather on about everything and anything, but the fact is that once again, the Balkans, and particularly Bosnia, was the lead story pretty well for the next 2 years. And because I'd spent 6 months there, all of a sudden I'm anointed an expert, on Bosnia, which was slightly inaccurate, but I ended up briefing NATO ministers in Brussels and Her Majesty the Queen and congressional committees, as I mentioned. So there was a lot of continuing free exposure, which generated a speaking career. And that's how I started to make my living. But it was handed to me in a silver platter just because a whole bunch of soldiers made me look good.
Now, that might sound like a wonderful situation. On the other hand, with all those demands, because you were very well known at that point in time, did you have to start managing your time more carefully?
I should have done that early on, but I didn't. I was eating and drinking everything on the flights between Canada and Europe or South America or wherever, and I was still working out, trying to keep myself in shape. But I realized that if I kept up that pace, I was sometimes doing, maximum would have been 3, but 2 professional speeches a day in different provinces or states or whatever. because I was working for an agency, still am, the same one, but nowhere near the pace, and they were keeping me mighty busy. And I started to have to say no, which was a smart thing to do. Otherwise, I probably would have succumbed physically or health-wise to the pace. I even did a couple. I did a couple of speeches in North America and Europe within less than 24 hours using the Concorde. I mean, that's how ridiculous it was.
So you, I mean, in a very different way, but you fell into something that you hear very often with retired people is you sound busier than ever before. Now, the only difference was nobody's shooting at you.
Yeah, and I always, when I speak to the young generation, you know, the recent CDS, Natimchuk and Hillier and people like that, I tell them they'll never be busier than when they retire. Because you retire, I was 53, they're probably 55, 56 previous CDSs, and that's, looking back from my 75th year, that's pretty damn young. And as a result, you have this retired after your name in brackets, and everybody thinks you're not doing anything. And so pro bono, I was on four national charity boards, and I'm delighted that was the case. But I didn't know how to say no. So things like Special Olympics and Parkinson's Foundation came calling, and we just want you on the letterhead, that's all. Yeah, sure. And if you believe that, you know, I've got some property to sell you, because it ends up being a lot of your time, and it's payback time. So from that point of view, it's nice to be able to give back at the charitable level. And I found myself very much involved with International Community for the Reef of Starvation and Suffering, which was started by a sergeant from the Queen's Own / Airborne Regiment when he retired, and we ended up training AIDS caregivers in Africa. The average age of a caregiver in Africa is 11 years old because the family dies from the top down, and so we sent a lot of medical equipment and training hours dedicated to helping people in Kenya, Malawi, locations, getting bicycles over there, because if you have a bicycle, you can care for two or three families rather than just one, because they're spread out so much.
But overall, it sounds like for a period there, you were really overextended, and there may be some wisdom you can pass on to people, you know, in that mm-hmm. position when they're retiring. I mean, the Atlantic provinces in particular have always been in the forefront when it comes to men and women enlisting in the military yeah. service. Many live in Nova Scotia, and for a number of reasons, a lot are in the Halifax area. What advice would you give someone retiring from the military or just approaching retirement?
Well, I'd say learn how to say no for about the first month at least, because there's a feeling of insecurity. Gee, I'm leaving, you know, the cocoon. I've been in uniform for 10, 15, maybe 35 years. Maybe that's all I know. And what am I going to do next? Well, because there are so many qualities that are assumed by employers, that in actual fact, you might have more offers over a period of time, and not just necessarily should you jump at the first one. And that's a judgment call, I know. But, I mean, I was losing, this is before the oil boom in Calgary. I was a battalion commander at the time, 77 to 79, and I was losing about 10 soldiers a month. And some of them were going to the oil patch. Other ones were being hired out from underneath me by the local companies in Calgary. So when I got around to talking to these employers, they said, don't you realize these young guys of yours, you know, they show up on time. They actually know how to organize. They know how to motivate people. I said, we don't have a pool of those that we can count on, like your military guys. And some of these guys were, you know, early 20s, for heaven's sakes. They were being recruited out very, very young. Other ones, senior NCOs, etc. But there were qualities that we just take for granted in the military. The entire Canadian Forces, we take that for granted. And in actual fact, don't just take the first offer. You know, you've got a lot to offer. And it doesn't matter what classification you come from. We used to joke in the infantry that the only thing we were qualified for was landscaping, because we're always digging holes and hiding from the enemy. But in actual fact, one of my colleagues went off, and within a year, he was the coordinator or in charge of all landscaping for all of the Ontario Provincial Police stations throughout the province.
So there.
He actually used his infantry training.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersPlus.com, the website where retired men and women with years of career experience connect with employers seeking their expertise for short-term assignments. I'm Costas Alavrazos. I'm speaking today with retired Major General Lewis McKenzie, who commanded peacekeeping troops in many of the world's trouble spots before retiring in 1993. He's also the author of the best-selling Peacekeeper, The Road to Sarajevo.
General McKenzie, we hear a lot today about boomers retiring. This is in civilian life and leaving a large gap in experience in their workplace, which in many cases young workers haven't really been prepared to fill. Is the military experiencing a similar situation?
Well, they could well be now. I mean, I'm 22 years out of date, but I do keep in touch. But the fact is that we went through a major war, Afghanistan. That draws a certain type of recruit in, and I always get pissed off when people tell me, well, yeah, all the Maritimers join the military and higher percentage in the population, you know, because there's no work. You know, baloney. The fact is that an awful lot of folks down home join because of patriotism and loyalty to the country and wanting to serve. And then so the military recruited a hell of a lot of highly qualified, motivated individuals, some of whom did multiple tours in Afghanistan, and then things quieted down. And there is a tendency to get frustrated, and some significant numbers took early retirement. And the fact that on their resume was what they'd done, and they became attractive to some employers. And sure, a lot of them went to northern Alberta, but a lot of them went across the country into pretty darn good jobs. I would imagine that there is a gap now in the sort of middle leadership area.
Now, we only have about a minute left, but you've developed a series of lectures on leadership. Are there lessons in there for boomers with lots of experience who are contemplating retirement?
Yeah, it's interesting. Colin Powell and I did some dog and pony shows on leadership many, many years ago, just after I got out, and it was amazing. We each had 10 practical tips, and we hadn't looked at each other's background or anything, and 8 of them were exactly the same with different words, that's all. So there is absolutely no secret to leadership at all, and it's leadership I'm talking about, not management. Management's doing the thing right, leadership is doing the right thing, and that's not just a glib statement. So there's a lot of inherent leadership ability in people when they take their release from the Canadian military, and it will be put to good use by whoever hires them.
Do the people retiring realize that?
No, not always. Tend to undersell themselves, a number of them. I've helped a number of them with adjusting to Civvy Street, some of them actually quite senior, just providing advice when I say helping, and they always underestimate what they have to offer.
Well, General McKenzie, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure. All the best.
My guest today has been retired Major General Lewis McKenzie, who commanded peacekeeping troops from more than 30 countries in many of the world's trouble spots. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send us an email. The address is encore@boomersplus.com. And now would be an excellent time to visit the website at boomersplus.com. If you're a recent retiree or approaching retirement, connect with employers who are eager to tap your years of career experience for short-term assignments. If you're an employer, go to boomersplus.com to find seasoned professionals without all the hassle of traditional recruiting methods. Simply go to boomersplus.com and register now. It's free. Tune into Encore next week at this time to meet men and women who'll share the insights they've gained and the new opportunities they see in work, leisure, and health, for Canadians aged 50 and up. Because experience never retires. I'm Costas Halavrazos. Have a great week.